There's a story of Abraham Lincoln, went off to a slave market, saw a young, beautiful African-American woman being auctioned off. Guess what he did? He bought her. He walked off with her, turned around and said, "You're free." "What's that supposed to mean?" she replied. "It means you're free. God has set you and me free. We've been bought with the price of His Son. But the biggest challenge we often face is our willingness to accept our condition."
Jesus says if you're willing to do that, you'll know the truth. And this truth He's talking about is Him. It's the revelation of God in the person of Jesus Christ. And everybody wants to be free.
Welcome to Simple Truths for Life with Charles Tapp. Here, we hope you'll find answers to some of life's everyday struggles. You can learn more by visiting simpletruthsforlife.com. There has never been a time in history when we haven't been in search of freedom. And this week, Charles Tapp helps make it clear that the search for the ultimate freedom begins and ends not with people or the powers of this world, but with Jesus. As he shares his message, "Free at Last."
This week, our nation paused as it celebrated its anniversary as a sovereign and as a free nation. John Adams, who eventually became this nation's second president, felt that one of the ways that we could celebrate and could commemorate this for future generations would be, besides picnics and parades and parties, is by acknowledging this day, this weekend, as a special time of deliverance through the acts and the demonstration of the acts of God. But whether it's freedom from a particular government or freedom from an unjust political, economic, or social system, freedom is a commodity that I believe should always be celebrated. Because although we call this thing freedom, freedom is not free. Freedom never has been free, and freedom never will be free. Freedom always comes with a cost. Freedom always comes with a price tag attached to it. So whenever we have the opportunity to celebrate and to acknowledge freedom, we should do so. And yes, that also holds true when it comes to the freedom that you and I can celebrate, the freedom that has come to us through our Lord Jesus Christ. And it is this freedom, dear friends, that the Gospel of John, especially chapter 8, so powerfully articulates, as we'll look at in a moment, verses 31 to 36. But when you begin to look at the beginning of chapter 8 of John's Gospel, I don't know whether you've ever looked at it before or not, but it begins with a story of liberation. And you know the story where the woman, where the Bible says, was caught in the very act of adultery, and a group of religious leaders, men, by the way, brought her to Jesus, hoping that he would stone her or give the people permission to stone her. But you know how the story went. Instead of her being stoned, Jesus exposed these self-righteous, pious religious leaders for who they were. And at the end, it was just her and Christ. And he asked her that question, "Well, who condemns you?" And she says, "Well, there's nobody here." He says, "Well, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." So the story ended not with a woman being stoned to death as some had hoped, but it ended with a woman being set free by her accusers, for they were exposed as the counterfeit men of the cloth that they were. But chapter 8 of John's Gospel quickly begins to transition to Jesus trying to explain to those in the crowd, in his audience, that all the claims that he made were true. Claims of being the Messiah, claims of being the Son of God, claims of being the light of the world. But it had happened so many times in the past, despite how powerfully Jesus articulated who he was, for whatever reason, they refused to open their hearts and their heads and their eyes and allow that truth to make its way home. Like many do today when they hear the word of God being shared, instead of opening their minds to it, instead of opening their hearts, they close it because they don't want to accept the truth, because they know if they accept it, a change is going to come. So willfully, they were blinded by their pride and their sinful hearts, and they refused to accept the truth that was staring them, dear friends, right in the face. So let's pick it up in John's Gospel, John chapter 8, as we look at verses 31 to verse 32. Look at what the Word of God says. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believe, still talking about the people in the crowd, if you abide in me, in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know what? The truth, and the truth shall set you free. If you abide in my word, that word abide means to continue in my word, to hold steadfast in my word, you will be my disciples indeed, and then you will know the truth, and this truth, Jesus says, will set you free. For regardless of all the naysayers that were in that crowd, there's always somebody, dear friends, that is willing to hear the gospel, but do more than hear it, they are willing to accept it. That's why you and I, listen to me, we should never judge people in advance. For the very people we feel will never accept the truth are the ones who will accept it. And the very ones we feel will accept it are the ones who will not accept it. I remember back in the day, and this is back in the day. You remember when evangelists would do these crusades in tents? Better question. How many of you don't have a clue as to what I'm talking about? I remember one pastor telling me the story of how he just knew this one woman was going to accept Christ. She was there every night, every time they had some special giveaway, either to bring a friend and receive a Bible or you know, who came from the furthest distance, how many guests you could bring. She would always win. She won everything, every Bible, every concordance, every bag of groceries. They even had one night where they gave $200 worth of groceries away. That was huge back in 1970-something. She won everything that could be won because she was there every night. And when he made his appeal to accept Christ, she did not come. As a matter of fact, the next night, she didn't come back. The next night, she didn't come back. She was never seen from again. And some of the very ones he felt would have never given their heart to God, those who would stand out on the peripheral every night, never even come in and take a seat, when he made the call, they were the ones that walked down and gave their hearts to Jesus Christ. That's why you and I should never judge anybody. Who are we to determine who will accept the gospel and who will not? Just be thankful you're here. Amen. Some of the biggest surprises we're ever going to have is when we get to the kingdom of God. And the biggest surprise is that we're there. Some of you will get that later on as you drive down 495 this afternoon. John makes it clear that Jesus recognized that there was some in that crowd, even though many of them rejected his truth, there was some who believed. And Jesus says, I'm speaking to you. And for those of you who believe, if you will just continue to abide, if you will just continue in my word, you will be my disciples, not just my disciples, but Jesus says, you will be my disciples indeed. And that word indeed means with great certainty, which lets us know many of us may be disciples, but we're not disciples indeed. And don't miss what I'm saying. Because many of us have an intellectual assent and agreement to the gospel and to the truth. I believe that. I believe that. I believe that. Jesus says, I'm not talking about those. I'm talking about those who are willing to accept the truth with their hearts. You know, many of us have degrees in theology and religion. We've taken 50 Bible studies. We've got every certificate on our wall that can be given. But how many of us are disciples indeed? Because to be a disciple indeed means more than just saying, well, I believe that, I believe that, I believe that. The biggest crowds that Jesus ever had were those who came for food and those who came to be healed. But whenever Jesus presented the true word of God, the gospel, you know what happened to those crowds? They shrunk inside. And here's the challenge, dear friends, that the Christian church has today. We're so concerned with building a crowd, with getting an audience, that we're willing to compromise the truth of the gospel just to get a crowd. I've seen all kinds of shady things, all kinds of shady gimmicks used just to get a crowd. Is that what motivates you? Jesus never built up crowds. Read the Gospels. Whenever there was a crowd, Jesus made it smaller. And the thing that made it smaller, listen, Jesus wasn't just looking for disciples. He was looking for disciples indeed. Disciples who would go with him all the way. When you get a chance, read John chapter 6 and verse 26. This is right after Jesus had, you know, fed the 5,000, had this huge crowd there, and Jesus started to share the gospel in who he was. And John says in John 6 and verse 66 that many who were with him began to walk away, and they never returned because they weren't disciples indeed. God is looking for disciples who will abide with him and continue with him all the way. Who says amen to that? And Jesus says, if you're willing to abide with me and continue in my word, then you will know the truth. And the truth he's talking about here is not knowledge, it's not information. He's talking about knowing him. And he says, once you get to know me by abiding in the word, then you will know that the Jesus of the Word is the one who can set you free. Who wants to be free today? You want to be free? Some of you are saying, well, Pastor, I want to be free from debt. How many of you have debt? Don't raise your hands. Freedom comes with a price. There were individuals in that crowd that believed what Christ said initially. But when they realized what Jesus was truly talking about, that the miracles were going to end, that there would no longer be a free handout, John says, many of them walked away. And I can't help but to think about our church today, how many are walking away. Not because God doesn't love them, but because they're not willing to be disciples indeed. Jesus says, if you're willing to do that, you'll know the truth. And this truth he's talking about is him. It's the revelation of God in the person of Jesus Christ. And everybody wants to be free.
You're listening to Simple Truths for Life with Charles Tapp and his message, Free at Last. And if you're enjoying this message or you'd like to find others like it, you can find out more by visiting simpletruthsforlife.com. We'll conclude with the rest of his message right after this.
When you need prayer, the WGTS 91.9 Prayer Community is here for you.
You're just seconds away from requesting prayer
or praying for fellow listeners.
And this isn't your average app.
What's special about the WGTS 91.9 Prayer Community is that when someone prays for you,
you might never meet face to face, but for a few minutes, you are connected to the power of prayer.
Simply download the WGTS 91.9 app and click on When We Pray.
request prayer.
Pray for others. The WGTS 91.9 prayer community is waiting for you.
This is Simple Truths for Life, and this week we celebrate freedom, but there are things that still enslave us to this day. Charles Tapp reveals how to discover the ultimate freedom waiting for us with his message, Free at Last.
Jesus says if you're willing to do that, you'll know the truth. And this truth he's talking about is him. It's the revelation of God in the person of Jesus Christ. And everybody wants to be free. But here's the biggest roadblock I've discovered to us truly accepting this thing called freedom, especially when it comes to being free in Jesus Christ. And that is this: it's our unwillingness to acknowledge our true nature. Did you hear what I said? It's our unwillingness to acknowledge our true nature. Let's go back to John chapter 8 for a moment. And let's take a look at verse 33. Look at what the Word of God says. They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say we will be made free?" Now, if ever there was, if not the strangest passage of Scripture in the Bible, this has to be it. How could the Jews have the audacity to say, "Listen, you talk about being free, we've never been in bondage"? What strong delusion were they under? These are the same people that had been in bondage for 400 years by the Egyptians, amen? Who were taken captive by the Babylonians, by the Assyrians, and at the present time, don't miss this, were under the occupation of Roman rule. But when Jesus says, "You need to be free," they go, "We've never been enslaved." Are you serious? In other words, have you ever tried to explain to someone their condition and they just couldn't get it? No matter how many times you shared it with them, you know, I never forget this woman, I'm not going to mention any names or what part of the country it's in or the world, but she thought she could sing. Now, I'm not under any strong delusion. I can't sing. Thank you. Nobody said amen. I appreciate that. That's why they won't let me join them this evening. But this woman was under strong delusion that she could sing. This woman would sing out of tune. She would sing loud. It was sharp. It was flat. It was sharp and flat. And she had to sing louder than everybody else. And those who would visit our church would wait until the singing was done before they entered the sanctuary because of this woman. I kid you not. It got so bad for me. It affected me psychologically. And I didn't even want to preach, Pastor Jerry, behind that. So I would sneak off into the pastor's study, true story, put on a set of headphones, listen to a gospel song, and then come back out and preach. We spoke to her. We prayed with her. We said, "Sis, you may have many gifts. This one ain't it." "Who? We've never been slaves." And that's what Jesus meant in Revelation 3 when he said, "Listen, some of you think you're rich. Some of you think you're all right. Some of you think you're increased with goods. But let me show you your true self." Jesus says you were poor, you were blind, and you were naked. Until we recognize our true condition, we can never be disciples indeed. But these men thought they were right with God simply because of their lineage, because they were descendants of Abraham. And Jesus says, "You may be descendants of Abraham, but you're not really from Abraham's seed spiritually, because if you were," and you can read it for yourself in the latter part of chapter 8 of John 8, it says, Jesus said to them, listen, if you're really from Abraham, why are you plotting to kill me? If you're really spiritually part of Abraham, Jesus showed them their true nature. They could not accept the truth. Like this Japanese soldier during World War II, when the war finally ended. This is a true story. And they sent word, he was up in the hills, they sent word to him that the war was over, and he thought it was propaganda, and he refused to stop fighting. And for the next 29 years, he fought a battle that didn't even exist. Because he could not accept the truth. And many of us have a hard time accepting the truth. We think we're disciples indeed, but we're not. Because we're not continuing, we're not abiding with Christ. One of the major mistakes that the Jews always committed when it came to Jesus, they always confused when he was talking about spiritual things and they thought he was talking about physical things. Nicodemus did it when Jesus said, you must be born again. He was talking spiritually, but Nicodemus thought that Jesus was talking about being born again physically. Jesus was telling them, listen, you are enslaved. And they looked at themselves and said, we're not in bondage. What do you mean we're slaves? Jesus was talking about a deeper bondage, a deeper slavery. He was talking about being in bonds, not physically, but he was talking about being in bondage to this thing we call sin. Sin. As I heard one Baptist preacher say, you've heard this before, but I've never written it down for you. And whenever I give this quote, I get emails, I get phone calls. Pastor, what did you say again? What did you say again? Write it down. Old Baptist preacher said one day, sin will take you further than you want to go. Sin will keep you longer than you want to stay. And ultimately, sin will cost you more than you're willing to pay. Do I need to say that again? It will take you further than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay. Ultimately, it will cost you more than you want to pay. Paul said it this way in Romans chapter 6. He said, listen, if you continue in your sin, you become a slave to sin, and sin becomes your master. And you know the whole dynamic between a master and a slave. A slave couldn't eat. A slave couldn't sleep. A slave couldn't speak unless the master gave them permission to do so. Amen? So wherever you go, if you continue in that sin, you become the slave, and that sin is your master. So wherever you go, the sin goes with you. Some of you are going, Pastor, what are you talking about? I knew you were going to ask that question. Let me show you. I'm going to ask Pastor Jerry to help me out and Pastor Don. They have no idea what I'm going to do. That's why I chose pastors today. I'm going to demonstrate what I mean by this. That we continue in sin. Let's give these gentlemen a hand for being here this morning. They had to be here anyway, so you know. Some of us are chained by sin. Who wants to be sin today? Jerry, you're sin. Wherever he goes, you go. As a matter of fact, wherever you go, he goes. Stand back to back. Hold this, Pastor Jerry. I'm having so much fun today. Hold that. There's something missing. Because sin has the ability to put you on lockdown. So I'm not going to let you control this. You look like a prisoner, doggone. I'm in the suture. Who's sin? You're sin. You're the disciple.
I'm just the man.
Wherever sin goes, he goes. Take him around. Take him around. Sometimes the disciple wants to go his own way, but sin always tries to go in the opposite direction. Amen? Now, I was going to say something, but I'm not going to say it. We laugh, but that's what sin does to us every day. That's what sin does to us. Just stand there. I'm in charge. That's what sin does to us every day. Jesus said, if you continue in your sin, sin becomes the master. You're the slave. You may want to go this way. As Paul says, the good that I want to do, I can't because of what? Sin. But Jesus says, I'm Jesus. But Jesus says, that's why I'm dressed like this today. Jesus says, if you abide in me, in other words, instead of continuing in your sin, but continue in the word, I will make you free. Because I got the key. I got the key, Sam. I've got the key. And whoever the Son sets free is free indeed. The chains that once bound us have no more power over us. For he who the Son sets free is free indeed. Amen? If you continue to abide in my word, you will know the truth. Not some philosophical truth, but you'll know me. And then you'll know that I'm the one who can set you free. Somebody needs to be set free today. You're going around trying to do what's right, but because you're continuing in your sin, the sin keeps pulling you back, keeping you longer than you want to stay, costing you more than you're willing to pay, and you're worn out. And you want freedom, the greatest freedom that mankind can ever experience. And that is freedom in Jesus Christ. Amen? He who the Son sets free is free indeed. In other words, is free at last. All of the freedom is fleeting. It's temporary.
You've been listening to Simple Truths for Life with Charles Tapp and his message, Free at Last. And if you want to listen again or share it with someone, you can find these messages on Apple Podcasts and also on Spotify. Or visit us online at simpletruthsforlife.com. Now here's what we're working on for next week.
In order to have true unity, there has to be diversity. And in order for unity and diversity to coexist, there has to be love.
You've heard the phrase, when in Rome, do as the Romans do. But how does the church find unity when there are others who come from other backgrounds or might do things differently than we do? Next week, Charles Tapp tackles this question and explains how the early church dealt with these very same issues, as he shares a two-part series of messages titled, When in Rome, with part one, Rooted and Grounded. Well, thanks for listening, and we hope you'll plan to join us again next week for more Simple Truths for Life.